There's nothing better than sports on a Sunday.
The return to glory.
It's time to kick off.
20, he will score!
Tip off.
Way downtown, bang, bang!
Or tee off.
They're going to go nuts when he hits this thing.
Yeah! On Sunday Huddle with Colin Russo, presented by Hard Rock Bet.
A May the 4th edition of Sunday Huddle, presented by Hard Rock Bet right here on ESPN 106.3. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, on a Sunday drive. We're live from the City Place Studios in downtown West Palm Beach. Next hour right here on ESPN 106.3. Myself, Colin Russo, and Cade Shumsen joining me behind the glass at the City Place Studios. Going to have a great time here. A lot to talk about. We got two Game 7s to preview tonight between the Jets and the Blues and the NHL side and the Rockets and the Warriors. Warriors in danger of falling and blowing another 3-1 series lead. I feel like nobody's talking about it. We got F1 down at Miami today. A lot to talk about. Kentucky Derby was yesterday. We got some Star Wars to talk about because it's May the 4th. This is the annual Star Wars holiday. You had the Clippers, who fell in Game 7 to the Nuggets, 120-101, and the game was almost never competitive. Basically, second half on a terrible, terrible, terrible performance for the Los Angeles Clippers. Ty Lue, who's 4-0 in Game 7s coming into the game. But when you have James Harden on your team, sometimes the player being unreliable triumphs over the coach being reliable. Cade Shumsen, Colin Russo, Sunday Huddle, presented by Hard Rock Bet. Go get started now. Hard Rock Bet, there's so many reasons to get involved because you got the Stanley Cup playoffs that is getting really interesting now with the Game 7 tonight. You had the Dallas Stars score 4 unanswered against the Colorado Avalanche last night to move on in their series. You got the Warriors and the Rockets tonight. You're going to be watching this stuff anyway, especially with the MLB regular season going on. And if you want to make some money, just go bet on Judge to generate a hit, maybe a home run, because Aaron Judge is putting on quite a show for the New York Yankees on the MLB side of things. But you can watch this stuff anyway, so you might as well sprinkle a little action on it over on the Hard Rock Bet app. It's on the Google Play Store. It's on the Apple App Store. It's on hardrock.betonline. You get started now. You get up to $100 back in bonus bets if your first bet does not hit. That first bet can be a parlay, prop, the over, whatever you like to bet, any game you choose. Check out the Discover page. See what other users have put together, too. And you can just tag along. Do none of the legwork. Just tag along on their parlays if you like the sounds of it, you like the looks of it, and then boom, you're involved with them as well. They also have Battle the Bets, all these promos, profit boosts that you could utilize as well. That's Hard Rock Bet. It's offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida. Must be 21 plus and physically present in Florida. The wager terms and conditions apply. Considered by gambling, call 1-888. Admit it. All right, Cade, yesterday, let's start with the Nuggets and the Clippers. The Nuggets win 120-101. It really was characterized by the second quarter and the third quarter in which Denver outscored the Clippers by 16 in each quarter. This game was over by the first 5 minutes of that third quarter. And it goes to show that, you know, if you're thinking about the Clippers for a second, who had that game four, that 30-9 run tie game, Aaron Gordon had that big putback dunk as time expired just about a week ago to keep them basically alive and keep the 2-2 series lead and win in Los Angeles to avoid falling down 3-1. That saved their series. It revitalized the team. Then they had a crucial Game 5 win when Jamal Murray had 43 points, a classic Jamal Murray game. And then, of course, Clippers fight back in Game 6. And then Denver, who put on a show yesterday, Jokic didn't even need to play great. The rest of the team did. 1-5 performance for Denver. You got to give them their credit, but I think this is more about how the Clippers, there was no urgency. There was no urgency throughout this entire game. It's like the Los Angeles Clippers, you didn't even get the sense that they were in a Game 7. I don't even know if they knew that they were in a Game 7. Guys, little urgency, a little speed, pick up the pace a little bit. They're way too casual. And they couldn't throw the ball in the ocean. I understand that. Kawhi Leonard was minus 33 on the floor. No urgency. A pathetic game by them. Harden, Kawhi, Norman Powell, all of their reliable players, they all stunk in the game. Really disappointed.
You got the feeling that they were waiting for the Nuggets to miss shots in order to get their opportunities. And as soon as the Nuggets started making everything last night, the Clippers kind of said, oh, well, I guess it's your game. No fight back, no chance for a comeback. literally let the game go, weren't scrapping for loose balls as well, weren't blocking the fast break whatsoever. How many fast breaks did the Nuggets get in this game? How many times did Jokic
beat him down the floor?
Chuck the ball down the floor to Aaron Gordon or Christian Brown. They had themselves wide open layups, they had themselves wide open threes. Michael Porter Jr. could have had a field day from the three-point line, which he semi did. And to see the Clippers and Kawhi and Harden, I mean, you would think of all people who needs to make a statement in a Game 7 to prove not only to himself, but also for his entire career that he can be that guy, it would have been James Harden. And he fell flat on his face with 7 points.
Yeah.
Seven in a Game 7 when you are the bona fide number two on that team. He only took 8 shots all game. That in and of itself is disappointing. Get the ball. Go for shots. Win the game. You have to win the game. What's the commercial we always play on this on these air stations? That one coach? Hello, you play to win the game. No one on the Clippers wanted to do that last night.
No interest in winning the game. I completely agree with you. And Harden here, who has always been characterized as a player that unreliable is the word. I like Harden. I think Harden played a better brand of basketball this year than he had in a couple years past, especially with Philadelphia and Brooklyn. But the thing about Harden is you almost live by him, you die by him. Similar to Westbrook. And Westbrook is now a role player, but when Harden runs your team, you live by him and you die by him. Harden, who's somebody who I commended earlier in this series, somebody that could dictate a game, he controls the pace of the game. I don't even know if Harden knows how much he controls the game. And there are times when Harden is an expert facilitator. Everything else is working. Harden can get his 15 assists. He only needs to score 15, 20 points. Be a point general on the floor. And then there's times where Harden can take over. This happened in the game against the Warriors, where they won to secure a spot in the postseason and avoid the play-in, where they beat them in overtime in their building. Harden took over that game. He had like 30 points. Excellent in overtime. He was their go-to scorer. And you felt that earlier on in the Nuggets series. And then for some reason, he started teetering off a cliff. After that Kawhi game when he had 39 points in game two, just started teetering off a cliff. He's a bizarre player. He's a polarizing player. He's an all-time great, but he has come up remarkably short in big moments. I don't know if there is somebody that I rely on, an all-time great that is currently playing, that I could rely on less than James Harden. I would rely on Giannis before him. I would rely on Jokic before him. I would rely on Kawhi before him. I would rely on Durant, LeBron, Kyrie Irving. I would rely before James Harden. Steph Curry, of course. Dare I say Trae Young?
Yeah, if Trae Young can get there, he just doesn't
have a team.
Jalen
Brunson? Do I rely on him? Probably.
100%.
Probably, yeah.
After last series.
Absolutely.
Could almost put Cade Cunningham in that situation.
Jason Tatum in a big spot. Jason Tatum had 50 points in a game seven against, what was it, against Philadelphia.
76ers, absolutely.
That's when Harden was terrible in the game.
Jimmy Butler.
That's when Harden had 9 points. Jimmy Butler in a big spot. I'm taking over Harden. This is somebody who is a sure doubt. He's an MVP of the league. He's a sure doubt Hall of Famer. And we could probably go 15 players that we'll take in a big spot. Easy. 15, Damian Lillard, healthy. I would probably take over before James Harden. I probably would. Doncic in a big spot. And listen, Doncic drives me crazy. But Doncic in a big spot. LeBron in a big spot. Anthony Edwards in a big spot. I'll take over James Harden.
And we're talking just the offensive side of things. We already know he does nothing on defense.
Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, I'm taking over James Harden in a big spot. Dare I say, is there somebody on the Rockets? Sengun? I'll take him over before Harden.
At this rate.
In a big spot. That's crazy to say, but it's true. Jokic, Jamal Murray in a big spot. I'm taking over him. Anthony Davis in a big spot. I'm taking before James Harden. We just named 20 players. We just named 25 players. The fact that James Harden is this polarizing in a big spot, you live by him, you die by him. The Clippers died by him last night. And listen, and Kawhi is not without blame, too. Kawhi was minus 33 on the floor. Kawhi is somebody that plays Kawhi's game no matter what, almost to a fault. Everybody gives Kawhi the grief and they laugh about it because he has no emotion. Kawhi could have used some emotion last night. Some urgency wouldn't have hurt from him last night. Kawhi Leonard, who averages 21-8-3 in game sevens in his career, seven games. And he had that Denver game yesterday. And before that was when they beat Dallas in 2021. But the year before that was, I believe, his first or second year in the with the Clippers. When they played Denver that previous time, he had 14 points. He had 14 points. He was 6-22 from the field.
You kind of have to go back to his Toronto days to get
the Toronto, and he had that famous Game 7 where he hit the game winner to advance them to the NBA Finals.
Yeah, one of the greatest shots of all time.
And he had 41 points that game. He was great. And he shot 16-39. You know, the shooting...
39. See, that's crazy. 39 attempts.
I know. But here's the thing. I agree. That's shooting 40% on 40 shots. But at least there's an urgency.
Yeah.
I'm shooting the shots because this is Game 7. I'm the best player on the floor. I'm doing this. That's what James Harden and Kawhi should have done last night. Kawhi shot 13 shots.
And he made six of them. That's a better shooting percentage.
That should have been 22 shots.
Unbelievable.
Should have been 22 shots. And the previous times when he was San Antonio, that's before he blossomed as a scorer. I can't give him a ton of flack for that. I really can't. James Harden, on the other hand, who famously was up 3-2 against the Warriors in 2018, and that was against the Avengers of a Warriors team.
Yeah, with Durant.
Durant, Curry, Thompson, all at their peak. The 2017 was a little better. The 2017 team was a little better. Mm-hmm. But 2018, they were still great. They were up 3-2 in the series. Chris Paul goes down with the hamstring injury. And then Game 7 was when the Rockets infamously missed 27 straight threes in the fourth quarter.
Didn't they attempt like 102 or something like that?
It was ridiculous. It was ridiculous. And Harden even had a decent game that game. But James Harden, somebody who has made 10-plus field goals, he's played seven Game 7s in his career. He's made over 10 shots one time.
Jeez Louise.
Two shots made against the Denver Nuggets. Three shots made against the 76ers, against Boston Celtics in 2023. Brooklyn and Milwaukee, when they were up in the series, and then Kyrie goes down. And then Durant has that bad, the toe was too big when they had a chance to knock him off. That was a great series. He made five shots. They played OKC in 2020. He made four shots. That was his last year in Houston. How about that? This is somebody who is wildly unreliable. Who does he remind you of in football?
In football? Well, we're talking just the postseason, Aaron Rodgers. I don't think there's a single doubt about that.
I don't think that's fair. I don't think that's fair.
We're talking a great player who chokes in the playoffs.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers doesn't play as poorly as Harden does.
Also true.
I was going to say Lamar.
Okay, so I actually have a list of players that I compare James Harden to in other sports.
Okay.
Is he
Aaron Judge?
Yes, he's my number one.
Okay, that we could agree on. Aaron Judge.
The number one guy on the list was Aaron Judge.
All right, so let's go through your list a little quick. So you got Aaron Judge there. I agree with that.
Top five least reliable players. I also put coaches on this list because I think there are some guys that have a great, amazing roster that have no idea how to put it together in the postseason.
I have an idea of where that's going. Go ahead.
So you mentioned Lamar Jackson. I think it's actually more on Todd Monken.
I don't think that's fair either. Because Todd Monken's been there for what, 2 years?
2 years, but you think about that Chiefs AFC Championship game where he rushed the ball two times.
Right. But Lamar's been a problem in the postseason even before Monken. But I understand
also
the idea.
Also before Monken, but I'm
thinking... I understand the idea. So you said Todd Monken there.
Todd Monken.
Who's the offensive coordinator
for the Ravens.
For the Ravens.
The last 2 years where he has decided to not rush the ball when he's got the best rushing team in the NFL. Those two games drove me nuts.
Okay.
So well, I got Todd Monken on this list. I have almost the entirety of the LA Chargers.
Justin Herbert I could listen to, yes.
How come this team, I'm talking historically too, with Phillip Rivers, with Justin Herbert, with anybody you put on this roster, somehow the Chargers have no idea how to make it happen in the postseason. They haven't made an AFC Championship game since 2008. And they have had bona fide Hall of Famers and All-Stars on that team for the last decade and a half. Somehow don't seem to know how to get it done. Doc Rivers is also on this list. Doc Rivers,
that might be the best one,
can be put in any great roster, get top three in his conference, and choke in the first round of the playoffs or second round of the playoffs every single time.
I think he is Doc Rivers incarnated as a player. That's what I would say.
Yes.
I think that's the best one.
And then I have Aaron Rodgers number one.
I don't agree with Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Judge is number one.
Aaron Judge makes sense.
Aaron Rodgers didn't make my list because he has, like you said, he has put...
Rodgers has had an all-time postseason run to his name. You know? Like, that 2010 run was...
Yes, it was.
He has an all-time one to his name.
Yes, it was.
He's had opportunities, too. Like, he's had heroics in the postseason, and then he just kind of falls short. The Arizona Cardinal game comes to mind when they had Larry Fitzgerald, the first play of overtime.
Overtime game, yes,
that
sir.
That was the Jeff Janis game when he drove down the field on 2 fourth and 20s.
Yep, had the Hail Mary as well.
So, James Harden has not had that. Rodgers has. So, we got to give Rodgers something. But I agree. Get the years against San Francisco at home where they blow it. Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Drives you nuts. I agree. So, there's times. But I think that the fact that Rodgers has succeeded secedes him from that list.
A little bit, yes. But Aaron Judge is the bona fide player in sports who cannot, so far, come in clutch in the playoffs.
You can't rely on him.
He has a batting average of .205 in the postseason.
Now, the one thing I'm saying is, listen, I'm going to change my tune on Judge really quick. I don't want to turn this into baseball, but if you haven't been following what the Yankees have done, Aaron Judge is hitting about .430. He's got a .530 OBP. The rest of the league is hitting like .260, .240, I think. Like, he is so much better than the rest of the league right now. And it goes to show that, and I can't believe we're on the topic of Aaron Judge being unreliable. This will lead into the point. Based on what we're seeing in the regular season, and baseball is a statistic-compiled regular season sport, we are looking at the, and I've said this for a couple weeks now, the best hitting prime in Major League Baseball since Bonds. And Bonds was cheating. Bonds never even did what Judge is doing right now. Bonds, before he was juicing, was a 35-40 home run guy. Excellent eye for the plate. Knocks in 110, 120 RBIs a year. Judge, if he doesn't get hurt, what was it, in 2022? If he doesn't get hurt, where he still had 37 homers in 100 games, we're looking at probably 4 straight seasons. If he continues it this year, and I assume he will, of 50-plus homers, 130-plus RBIs, hitting .300, getting on base, you know, 42% of the time, he is one postseason run, good postseason run, and ring away from being a top 5 hitter ever. That's where I'm at with Judge.
We can't disagree with that.
Can't. And the thing is, I like Judge. We could talk about him being unreliable. This is nothing against Judge. Handles himself well with the media. He's the captain of the Yankees, which is the heaviest jersey in baseball. He is a role model. He's good with the younger players. He's good with the teammates. He's good with opponents. He holds his head up high when it gets cold out, he struggles. But he is one run away from complete immortality. That's how good he is. I am ready to say that. It is goes without saying, he's Ted Williams. He's unbelievable. He is unpitchable right now. And it's shame because we cannot rely on him in the postseason. And that's his Achilles heel. So if and when, and all it takes, one postseason run will nullify all that, will vindicate all of that. Doesn't matter what he does before that. If he has one run and a ring out of it, he's a top 5 Yankee ever and a top 5 hitter ever. That's how good he is. And it's a shame, but he's unreliable like Harden. I don't think Harden's ever going to have that moment.
Well, he definitely won't have that moment as the number one player on the court.
No.
He could potentially, like, if Russell Westbrook gets a ring with the Nuggets, it'd be like, okay, nice job, Russ. You got your ring. Congratulations. Perfect cap to an unbelievable career. Same thing could happen to Harden if he finds the right situation, potentially.
Yeah, the thing about Westbrook is Westbrook has found an ability. Westbrook's another guy you live and die by, but Westbrook does not need to play 35 minutes a night to be effective.
Oh, he's coming off the bench.
He comes off the bench, and he could play 20, 25 minutes and make his impact felt. And sometimes it's negative, sometimes it's positive, but you almost have to respect him because he works hard.
I was about to say, he's going to scrap out every single play.
He scraps everything out, so you got to respect him. He has his moments, but you got to respect Westbrook. But I'm at a point now that the Clippers have been eliminated. Harden might be the most unreliable player in sports. Might be.
He is up there.
He is up there.
He is up there.
Him, Lamar Jackson, those two, and Judge. Of the great players in sports, great.
Yes, because there's a clear, distinct level that we're talking about here.
We're talking about the top players in their respective leagues. Lamar Jackson, Judge, Harden. Those are my three. And then as a coach, Doc Rivers. Doc. He's Doc. Doc can't win a big game to save his life. Never. With that, it doesn't matter if he's with the Bucks, if he's even with the Celtics here and there. The Magic.
And it always looks bad, too.
With the Sixers. Oh, my God.
He never can get deep. He never can be competitive.
Yeah, the Clippers, when he was on there with Chris Paul. Oh, Doc's a joke. Doc drives me nuts. That's Harden. Kate Chubbs and Colin Russo, Sunday Huddle, presented by Hard Rock Bet. It's May the 4th. And for those Star Wars fans out there, I know it's May the 4th be with you. But because of that, Kate and I are in the spirit of Star Wars. We're going to rank our top three and bottom three Star Wars media. On the flip side of things, we'll look ahead into the Game 7s that we have tonight, a little F1 action, a little later on today down in Miami. We'll make some picks to that. We'll blitz the book. We got the Warriors-Rockets Game 7. We got the Jets and Blues Game 7. Only the home team has won every game of that series as well. Can the Blues do it? We'll see. We'll talk about it. That's coming up next. It's Sunday Huddle, presented by Hard Rock Bet on ESPN 106.3.
Topper, 19 Uber, jailbreak, Ralph Chowder.
This is Sunday Huddle with Colin Russo, presented by Hard Rock Bet.
Nice touch, Cade. May the 4th. Just a classic theme. It really is. This is a John Williams theme. I think
all time great. Absolutely. 100%.
It is John Williams, right? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, he did the whole thing.
That's great. Kate Chubbs and Colin Russo, Sunday Huddle, presented by Hard Rock Bet, right here on ESPN 106.3, streaming live on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter, /X at ESPN West Palm as well. All right, Kate, let's have some fun here in the spirit of the holiday, May the 4th. And I'm not a Star Wars guy. Mike Rizzo's not here. Mike Rizzo is my partner on Russo and Rizzo, which you can hear 4-6 weekdays right here on ESPN 106.3. Mike Rizzo, I swear to God, loves Star Wars more than anything in his life. Loves Star Wars more than food. Loves Star Wars more than, you know, his family, loves Star Wars more than everything. And we're going to do this without him, which is why this is funny. Because I like Star Wars, but I think Star Wars, the thing about this is Star Wars has highs and lows. Like, the highs are really high, but the lows are quite low. Let's call it like we see it.
100%.
So, in the spirit of that, let's have some fun here. Let's rank our top three Star Wars media and our bottom three Star Wars media. How do you want to do this, Cade? Have you ranked them 1 through 3?
I have, on both sides.
So
one being the most, so it's the best or the worst.
And this is your personal opinion. It doesn't necessarily need to be what? It doesn't need to be what, objective? This is what you personally think is your favorite
100%
Star Wars thing. All right. Because of that, all right, let's start 3-2-1 going upward, and then we'll go 3-2-1 going downward.
Okay.
Cade, go right ahead.
3-2-1, as in the top things about Star Wars. I'm going to say number 3, the Duel of Fates battle at the end of the third movie.
This is ultimate. I see. I'm going to go a little bit more generalized, but you want to go ultra specific? You can totally.
Because I like the third movie. I think it does a great job of segueing into the fourth movie, but the bona fide best part about that movie and the best battle scene in all of Star Wars is the Duel of Fates battle between Anakin Skywalker and Obi-Wan Kenobi. That is peak lightsaber fighting. That is peak choreography in the Star Wars saga for any of the three sagas. The Duel of Fates scene is an all-time classic, and we've yet to see anything close since.
Now, the Revenge of the Sith was out in theaters for its 20th anniversary or something like that.
It just was, yes, sir.
And I didn't get a chance to go see it. It was in theaters for a while. It still might be, but I got it. I haven't watched Revenge of the Sith in a couple of years, so I got to see how it holds up. Okay, that's your third. I'll go to my third, and then we'll go back and forth. Mm-hmm. My third, I'll be a little bit more generalized here. I haven't started the second season, but it's Andor. Andor is a TV show on Disney Plus. It came out, 2 years ago was the first season, and it surprised a lot of people because there wasn't a ton of hype coming into it. It was based off of Rogue One, which was a standalone movie that leads into
Terrific
A New
movie.
Hope. Yeah,
Terrific
very underrated. Movie. Good movie. Good movie indeed. And Andor was a little bit more, it's episodic, it's espionage, it's a little less of the lightsabers and the flash. It's a little bit more of sort of crime syndicates and little missions here and there. It's like the boots on the ground type of show. It's excellent. Excellent. They got a big budget for it. They let them do their own thing. It felt different than Star Wars, at least the bad Star Wars. It was new. It was refreshing. It was engaging. It reminded me of one of those, you know, like those little crime shows. That's what it really reminded me of. And that you could see in like Amazon Prime or something like that. That's how I thought that was great.
I've heard fantastic things about it.
Yeah, you have not watched Andor?
I have not watched Andor.
You would really like it. Andor season one, I haven't started season two yet. They only got three episodes out, but that was my number three. Cade, you're number two.
For sure. I will go to a movie now, and this is my favorite movie of the Star Wars story in general, Return of the Jedi. And I know this is a very unpopular opinion, but I love this number six movie, particularly at the ending when you have the three main battles going on and you get to jump between each battle. You've got the one on the planet with the Ewoks. You've got the space mission with Lando, and you've got the lightsaber battle scene on the Death Star. You're hitting the three primary battle scenes of the Star Wars story in one massive 20-minute fight scene, and it's a great wrap up to the series. Didn't need to make a third saga. We'll get to that in a second, but a perfect bow with an amazing, incredible final scene. Love the sixth movie, Return of the Jedi.
All right, mine's gonna be Empire Strikes Back.
Yep, there we go.
That's a classic. It's most people's favorite movie. It's probably the best objective film
100%.
Of the bunch
yep.
in terms of just structure, put everything together, all the characters are firing, the ultimate surprise at the end with Darth Vader. It just had everything going for it. It was a 1980. It was the peak. It was important. It was monumental. Everything leads to Empire, in my opinion.
It was probably the most pressure considering you had to follow up the first one.
Right. And Star Wars elevated the level once that movie came out. That was like, all right, this can be really, really good. That was the classic George Lucas. Perfect. Empire is great, and it's my number two.
It's not directed by George Lucas, by the way.
Who directed it, by the way?
I forget his name.
Lucas does the storyboards, and he does all that.
Characteristically, the one that George Lucas didn't direct.
I'm going to check that right now. I thought he did.
I forget. No, I definitely know he didn't, because Lucas asked.
Irvin Kershner.
Thank you. I have his picture in my head. I could not remember his name.
Interesting.
But it's the one that's famously not directed by him, even though it's considered the best by a whole lot of people. We'll go to my number one. He's almost in every single type of story you see. I am 6'7". This is a homer for me. Anything to do with Chewbacca. Chewbacca is the greatest Star Wars character.
So what are you saying? You relate to Chewbacca because
100%.
You're 6'7"?
Yes.
Cade, he's Sasquatch.
What do you think I've been called my whole life, bro?
Yes. All right, continue.
That's it. My favorite thing about Star Wars is Chewbacca.
Because you relate to Chewbacca.
Yes.
What about before you were 6'7"?
What do you think I was compared to all my other friends, bro? I've always been like this.
So it wasn't like a surprise growth spurt?
No, I've been taller than everyone forever. Okay. I've never had a growth spurt.
Did you ever have that nickname stick, Chewbacca? Did that ever happen to you?
A little bit. Twizzler.
Twizzler.
Carrot boy.
I like that. I like Twizzler.
I've been a lot of different things.
Interesting. I got Shaggy once because I had a little goatee. Oh, people called me Shaggy during basketball games. Yeah. That was brutal.
But anyway, when it comes to Star Wars media, when it comes to Star Wars anything, if it's got Chewbacca in it, I'm a fan.
Right. I think, and listen, for what Star Wars tries to be, sometimes it's a little too self-serious. Sometimes it's not serious at all. And I think the perfect medium was Revenge of the Sith. That's my number one.
Okay.
I think Revenge of the Sith, for what it was trying to accomplish, the prequels leading up to, you're trying to get to the Darth Vader. How does he become Darth Vader?
That's the whole point.
That's the whole idea.
Yes.
And they take some leaps and bounds to get there in the movie. Structurally, there's probably issues. And the dialogue is wonky. The acting is wonky. But it's just like, you kind of sit there for the ride. That's what Revenge of the Sith is. It's nonstop. It's quick. It's just action packed.
Yes. You starting off with Count Dooku is perfect.
Right. The ultimate climax, Order 66. It had everything. It had everything. General Grievous. It was just great.
Yes.
And it all ended with Obi-Wan and Anakin for 20 minutes, as you said. So this was as good as it gets. It's just the ultimate vibe. Watch it. It's great. Let's flip it. All right, Cade. Bottom three. Let's start at your third worst, then we'll go down.
Okay. My third least...
of Star Wars media.
Third favorite, least favorite part about Star Wars is the... I'm trying to figure out how to... The casting of Padme in the prequel.
The casting? Really? All right, so yeah. You're upset with the Natalie Portman being casted as Padme.
Yes. And the story that goes along with it. Natalie Portman, when she started the prequels with The Phantom Menace, she was 16 years old when she started filming. It released when she was 18, and she was 2 years older than her character. The queen in that movie is supposed to be 14 years old, and Anakin's supposed to be 9 years old. It just looks weird on screen. In the second movie, she's 19 when she films it. She's 5 years younger than her character. And in the final movie, she's 22, and she's also 5 years younger than her character. Her character is supposed to go from a 14-year-old to a 27-year-old. And Natalie Portman only goes from a 16-year-old to a 22-year-old.
So what
really
do you want them
change.
To Would you want them to recast every installment?
I want them to either change the story or make a different character, because she looks like a 27-year-old in the final two movies. That first movie, she looks like a dang 19-year-old hitting up on a 6-year-old. That is what that first movie looks like. So either put in a different character or just make Anakin look older in the first movie.
I know you could have recast it from the first to the second. That makes sense.
Yes.
You could have cast it from the first to the second. I can't agree with doing it the third time, but I can maybe listen to you doing it similar to how they got Hayden Christensen involved.
Yes.
You could do it there.
Yes.
All right, so that's your number
My
three.
My goodness.
So you were very upset with the handling of Natalie Portman as whatever.
At least in the
it.
First movie. At okay. least in the first movie.
Okay. Interesting. All right. My third least favorite Star Wars piece of media is The Rise of Skywalker.
Amen.
It could have been higher. The Rise of Skywalker came out in 2019. It was the culmination. It was supposed to be finish of the trilogy. It was god awful. That movie stunk. Nothing about that movie is good.
Nope.
Nothing. There is no the story that makes sense. The characters aren't likable. They tried to do too much, you know, appealing to the fans. Stunk, stunk, stunk. That movie stinks.
Have you seen those social media clips where everyone screams at the theater when she says her name is Rey Skywalker?
It's like you're growing.
So
you're like,
funny.
Oh, give me a
so
break.
So funny. Everyone's
give
like, don't you do it.
A break.
Don't you do it.
Give me a break. They tried to have that moment, like, you know, where they got all the, it's like at the end of Return of the Jedi, and they try to have all the Force ghosts.
Yeah,
and they try to have a good time. They try to do that, and it just doesn't work.
Nope.
Ugh. That movie stunk. That's my third least favorite. Go ahead, Cade.
Okay, number two. I'm going to just bunch the whole third trilogy together. Force Awakens, Last Jedi, Rise of Skywalker.
Force Awakens is good.
Force Awakens is the worst of every Star Wars movie.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
You're wrong. That's dead wrong.
Dude, it's literally the fourth movie with new characters and a really, really bad protagonist and a really, really wimpy villain. Bro, the whole thing is trash.
No. I disagree. That movie was great.
That seventh movie.
You're wrong.
It was
Han Solo's death. That was a good movie. You're wrong. You're wrong. Continue. Go ahead.
I think you're wrong.
I think the other two in that
888-760-3776. Someone needs to help us out, or in the YouTube chat if you're streaming live. Someone tell us if
The Force Awakens is a good movie. There was so much hype for it.
And it's so let down. It's the fourth movie.
Maybe it hasn't aged.
Maybe it has so many bad characters.
And maybe it hasn't aged very well. But there was a lot of interesting dynamics that they had. They had what's his name? Finn. The thing is, I'm not good with the characters. They had Finn as a former stormtrooper
who was supposed to be the main character and turned out to be Rey. So bad marketing.
I agree. Bad, but that interesting. Rey in like interesting enough. Scavenger. I thought Kylo was better in the first movie than he was in the other movies, but I understand the gripe with him. He's a little too Darth Vader-esque.
No, he's not. That's the point.
No, but the idea, like, they tried to make the look like him, and then they tried to make him different. I don't know. Point being, killing Han Solo was a iconic moment.
Okay.
Movie's good. It's better than you're saying it is. You're wrong.
I want some help on this one. Someone call in. So
That's your. Oh wow! How about that?
That was for you, by the way.
Yeah, that's your second worst.
Yes.
Okay.
The whole trilogy in general, but if we want to put the seventh one up there as that, so be it. Awful.
Fair enough. The second worst for me is Attack of the Clones, episode 2.
Yeah, this is common.
This movie stinks. The acting's not good. The writing's not good. The action scenes aren't good. Just nothing about this movie is good. There's nothing. Like, let's call it like we see it. If you say it is good, you're wrong. It's just everything about it stinks. And it's just, in the scheme of the story, it's sort of in-betweener. It's just the politics aren't fun. They aren't interesting. The politics are fun and interesting in Revenge of the Sith. You know, the Jedi politics. That's fun. Interesting.
Yep.
It's just nothing works in Attack of the Clones. At least Phantom Menace, you know, Darth Maul, there's some intrigue there, Qui-Gon Jinn, the whole thing. 2 stinks. That movie stinks. Attack of the Clones, not a fan. That's my second least favorite. Go ahead, Cade.
The last one I have, again, I'm thinking media in general. I'm kind of summing up a lot of these movies together. Any Skywalker. Luke, Anakin,
stop.
Rey.
Stop.
Anyone who's got the last name of
this
Skywalker is weak.
This is stupid.
Whiny.
You have no idea what you're talking
bad
about.
Bad actor.
This is bad.
Everyone.
Cade, this is rough.
Anyone that's Skywalker related to.
Cade. I could listen to Rey. I can't listen to Anakin and Luke. I can't listen to them.
They both cry. They both whine.
They both cry.
They're weak. They
what do you want them to be? Just like these indestructible characters? They're supposed to have a sense of humanity and a sense
no,
of
but it's way,
vulnerability.
It's way worse than that, bro. It is way worse than that. Anything Skywalker related.
What are the good? Do you like these movies? What are the good parts?
Yes. I said Chewie, Han, Lando, any other, like the smugglers are great.
The battle scenes are great. Okay. So you don't like any of the Skywalkers?
No Skywalker does it for me. They're all
You don't like the two protagonists from the 6 main movies.
Yep.
From the 9 main movies.
Yep.
You don't like the protagonists.
Yep.
So anything Skywalker
in Star Wars, the side characters are better than the main characters. That is a fact. Side characters
depends
and sidekicks are
depends
better
the
than the main characters in every single Star Wars movie.
Depends on the movie. I could listen to that. Depends on the movie.
All right, what's your least favorite thing about Star Wars?
My least favorite Star Wars piece of media, you know, this is not my answer, but I didn't love Obi-Wan Kenobi, TV show. I don't know if you watched that.
I did. That one I did watch.
I did not like that.
Yeah, okay.
I lasted about an episode and a half, and then I quit this.
Okay.
So I'm still including it because I just disliked it that much. I had about 2 episodes I lasted.
Okay.
The Acolyte came out last year.
Oh, okay.
It was a TV show. It stunk.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm going to book group 2 into these because these Disney Plus shows, it's like you punch me in the face. These stink. The Boba Fett one from a couple of years ago.
Okay.
The Book of Boba Fett.
Okay.
Horrendous.
Okay.
Horrendous. Who made this? Who took time out of their day to make this? Who watched this in the editing room and said, this is good? Nobody said that. It stunk. And I thought the end of The Mandalorian was something similar to that as well.
The first one? The first season?
No, the first season I thought was really good.
Okay.
And then I think it gets progressively worse.
Okay.
Point being, I think the Book of Boba Fett and the Acolyte, those TV shows.
That makes sense.
Oh, horrendous.
Makes sense.
Horrendous. The Last Jedi I didn't love, but I don't think it's as bad as everybody says. The Force Awakens I liked. You clearly don't. The Rise of Skywalker stinks. I don't like the first one in The Phantom Menace. Attack of the Clones is awful. Revenge of the Sith is great. Return of the Jedi is great. Empire Strikes Back is great. A New Hope is good.
A New Hope is the perfect starter movie.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
Yeah,
it's a good movie. That's it. It's a good movie. May the 4th, Cade Chumsen, Kyle Russo.
What would Rizzo say?
I think Cade would be more unhappy. I think he would be more unhappy with your list than my list.
All right. Now I'm curious.
Your anti-Skywalker campaign would not float well with him.
That's probably true.
That would not go well.
That is probably true.
Mike, it's not a good movie. I don't know what to tell you.
I think he would agree with me on the Force Awakens one, though.
Okay. Interestingly enough, we got to do a little Blitz the Book.
To Blitz the Book.
Yeah. We got to Blitz the Book, little F1 action. We got to do our Game 7s. We're going to pick that. On the flip side of things, stick around for it first. I got to tell you, because if you've been in a car accident, truck accident, suffered a slip and fall, my friends Mark Anajar and Glenn Levine at Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys, they're here to fight for you. They don't charge you unless you win. They work tirelessly to get you the maximum compensation that you deserve. Don't settle for just any attorney. Demand Anna Jar and Levine today, because that's the Anna Jar and Levine difference. All it takes is one phone call to take back control of your life today. Don't wait. Call for that free consultation now. That's 1-800-747-FREE. 1-800-747-3733. Take back control now with Anna Jar and Levine. Blitz in the Book coming up next as we close out on a Sunday edition of Sunday Huddle right here on ESPN 106.3.
Near left, H2 chip, double drag, goes, halfback balloon, dummy spot call, hard three.
This is Sunday Huddle with Colin Russo, presented by Hard Rock Bet.
In May the 4th edition, 2025, Sunday Huddle presented by Hard Rock Bet right here on ESPN 106.3. Least reliable players include James Harden, Lamar Jackson, Aaron Judge, and that is probably the top of the great players that are unreliable in a big spot. Colin Russo, Cape Chumsen. We're from the City Place Studios in downtown West Palm Beach on your radio dial at ESPN 106.3. Also streaming live on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter /X at ESPN West Palm. Go get started on Hard Rock Bet app today, because if you're somebody like me who's getting into the Game 7 action, you even got a Game 1. Pacers-Cavs is going to be at 6 p.m. tonight. But Warriors-Rockets, Game 7, the Warriors in danger of dropping another 3-1 series lead in a playoff format. They've lost two in their building. This is going to be a very tricky game for the Warriors. Another team that I don't think has sensed the urgency of the moment, and we'll see if they do tonight with the Rockets in Houston, a chance to come back and knock the Warriors off. We also got Jets-Blues tonight in the NHL Stanley Cup. Game 7, we had a Game 7 yesterday between the Colorado Avalanche and the Dallas Stars. Winner that can also come out of the Western Conference. Let's keep that in mind. But Dallas scored four straight unanswered in the third period. To close out Colorado, a very good series there, a very talented teams on either side. On that front, Cade, it's time for us, but because of that, you're going to be watching this stuff anyway. You might as well sprinkle a little action, have a little fun over on Hard Rock Bet. The best part is about Hard Rock is you get $100 back in bonus bets if and when your first bet does not hit. So if you bet an over or bet a parlay, bet the spread, whatever it might be, a player prop, and you don't get it, boom. $100 right back to your account. You could use it as a bonus bet. Try it now. It's offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida. Must be 21 plus and physically present in Florida. The wager. Terms and conditions apply. Considered by gambling, call 1-888. Admit it. All right, Cade, it's time for us to have a little fun. Let's quickly blitz the book here with Hard Rock Bet. All right, when we blitz the book with Hard Rock Bet, Cade and I are going to go back and forth a little bit and make some big-time picks today. Cade, all right, you got the Hard Rock Bet app open. We got a couple Game 7s to choose from, so let's start there. And what else do you think we should take? Should we take an MLB game today?
And I'll do that, and we also got to talk about F1 Miami, my friend.
We got to take F1 Miami, too. So let's start with the Game 1. Let's start in the NBA. So we got Warriors and the Rockets today. The Warriors are +2.5 on the road. So, Rockets finally favored in this series. The over-under is 205.5. Rockets favored here. Do you think Golden State will blow that series lead, or do you think they will close out today? What do you
say? I think the Warriors will close out. I'm not as confident as I am against the spread as I am taking the over in this game. I expect a lot of scoring in a Game 7.
Okay. Now, the thing about the Warriors that I'll fight back on is I think the Warriors are better off when they are better defensively than offensively. I'm not sure if they necessarily want to go blow for blow with Houston offensively. Houston has played well. They've shot well. And Golden State has not. But maybe they sense the urgency of the moment. Steph Curry is good in a big spot. Jimmy Butler, another player who's good in a big spot. This is it. Don't blow a 3-1 series lead. Not to the Houston Rockets. Not to Jalen Green and Sengun. This is a good team, but they are inexperienced. You can't drop this game if you're Golden State. I'm going to take Golden State as well, +2.5. NHL side of things, Jets, Blues in Winnipeg. Jets are -170 on the money line, and the Blues are +140. I'd favor this on being within as a goal, but I mean, you never know with the empty netters. Cade, let's go with the winner here. What do you got?
I got the winner as the Jets. Might as well take the home team once again. I thought the Jets would have this series in hand much earlier. It's been a very, very good series, but again, this one's a toss-up for me. You never know who's going to come in the last second, but I'll go with Winnipeg as a safety precaution.
Yeah, here's the thing. Connor Hellebuck, who is the goalie for Winnipeg, has been awful in a big spot. And he was awful in St. Louis in game six. Oh my God. They took him to school. And it was a meltdown he had in game six. So off of that, I'm going against the goaltender here. I like Binnington. I don't necessarily like Hellebuck. Give me the Blues here. I know every home team has won in this series. Watch that change. St. Louis to win tonight, plus 140. I'm taking it with the odds. That's what we got there. Let's go to the driver's side of things. Cade, Formula One 2025, the Miami Grand Prix is today. We got a winner's lineup here. What do you got for us?
You know, the top three right now on Hard Rock Bet are Lando Norris, last year's winner, Max Verstappen, and Oscar Piastri. You know, when we talked with F4 driver, local West Palm Beach native, Jeremy Fairbairn last Tuesday when we had an amazing race at K1 Speed, and you can go check it out on ESPN West Palm Play right now, I asked Jeremy who he thinks is favored in this one. He's taking either Max Verstappen or Oscar Piastri. He's not going with the favorite, and neither will I. I will take Max Verstappen, who has had terrific success in Miami, wasn't able to get it done last year. I think he comes back this year, plus 150. I'll take Verstappen.
One thing about it, I asked Jeremy the same thing, and I said, who's got the best car? And he says, I think McLaren has the best car. Oscar Piastri, he said, I think he's a high-end driver. Verstappen doesn't make mistakes. That's why Verstappen's great. But Piastri at his best with the best car is very dangerous. I'm going to take Oscar Piastri. I think it's good odds, plus 275. I don't know any Formula One, but that will be what I take in that sense. Oscar Piastri, we got it right there. All right, Cade, an MLB game today. You got one that you're interested in today.
Yeah, let's go with the Orioles minus 150 against the Royals. I know the matchup isn't great, but I think the team is very good and the great odds, plus 140.
I saw my A's give up a grand slam to lose the game at Lone Depot Park in Miami to blow that one. But I'm going to take them to win again today. Let's do a bounce back performance. I'm an A's fan. I saw it live. Come on, give me something. Minus 120, Oakland A's. That was our Blitz the Book with Hard Rock Bet. Appreciate everybody tuning in. As always, the Sunday Huddle presented by Hard Rock Bet. Cade Chums and Colin Russo will be back at it next week. Stay happy, stay healthy, stay focused. Hard Rock Bet, ESPN 106.3.
The preceding program was paid for in full by Hard Rock Bet. Advice and opinions expressed during this program were solely those of the guests or hosts of this program and not of ESPN 106.3 or Good Karma Brands.